Earfluence Podcast, which is a podcast about podcasting from a podcast production company. I'm your host, Jason Gilligan, CEO of Earfluence, and with me as always is Cece Huffman. What's going on, Cece?
Same old, same old. I always try and come up with something interesting to say here, but today, I mean, it's just a little cloudy day, and I'm just getting things done per usual. Yep. Nothing too special.
We've got a couple new episodes or new podcasts coming out.
That is true.
Super exciting. We've got UNC's MHLIC podcast, Maternal Health Innovation, and we've got What's Your Tilt that published today as we're recording this. So, yes. So excited to share those.
And I encourage people go and listen because there's a little secret for the people who do listen. And I think you should all take the What's Your Tilt quiz, like the figure out your framework, your character strengths, whatever, because it gives you like a 30-page document all about yourself and who does not want to learn all about themselves for 20-30 minutes.
Yeah, it's eerie how exact it is.
Yeah,
definitely go take that. And as Cece alluded to, maybe there's a coupon code if you listen to the podcast.
Maybe.
So check out What's Your Tilt. All right. Well, Cece, I am super excited for another reason because today we have a great guest with us. Mm-hmm. Now, on the national podcast scene, when I think about the national podcast scene, I think first about Guy Raz. I think second about Sarah Koenig. Mm-hmm. I think third about Bill Simmons. I think fourth about Elsie Escobar. And fifth, I think about our guest today, Ariel Nissenblatt. Welcome, Ariel, to the show. I am so excited to talk to you today.
That was such a great intro. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here. And I'm excited to be fifth on your list.
Top five.
So Ariel is the host of the Earbuds Collective podcast. She's an ambassador or community manager for Squadcast, where we're filming this right now. She's a prolific tweeter. She's a founder of Earbuds Collective. And she is just one of those people that's always super excited about podcasting and to share new voices. So Ariel, I mean, I've got to start off with, why podcasting? Why podcasting as a career? And like, why are you so excited for all these podcasts that you talk about?
Growing up, I think I was not a good reader. And because of that, I had a lot of trouble consuming information and there weren't a lot of other options. And so in 2014, when I discovered podcasts and I was not only listening to a lot, but taking in a lot of information and synthesizing it, I was like, oh, this has been an option the whole time. So now I'm all in on it. I love audio.
Oh my gosh. Like, well, I mentioned you're a prolific tweeter. Like, you are tweeting, I don't know, probably like 10 times a day where I'll see something. And
I am extremely online.
Yeah. Well, you're always sharing different voices. And I think that's what you're doing with the Earbuds Collective is just sharing all those different voices. And it is just so hard to break through the 2.5 million podcasts or 4 million podcasts or however many podcasts there are. And for you to take your time out of your day and listen to these new podcasts and promote them is just awesome. And so the podcast community as a whole just appreciates you.
I really love listening to podcasts. It is not hard to then share them. You know, if you love something, I feel like it is not worth it to keep it to yourself, especially when these indie creators and creators in general are working so hard, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think if it does not take you too much extra time, it's pretty easy to get on Twitter and let them know publicly that you appreciate what they did. And then even more so, if you've got time, supporting them with even a dollar on Patreon is something you can do.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, speaking of monetization, even if a little small, even if it's just that dollar, one of your tweets I saw, you said, I don't know who needs to hear this, but you can monetize your podcast before it has 10,000 downloads per episode, which is like 99.9% of all the podcasts out there have less than 10,000 downloads per episode.
Definitely.
And that's also 99.9% of what all of our clients want to do is find a way to monetize their show.
Well, look, there's a lot of caveats here. One is that you can monetize. Should you monetize? Maybe. Well, we could talk all about that.
Right.
But I giggled when you first read the tweet back to me because I've realized lately, you said I'm a prolific tweeter. I very much am. I'm figuring out for myself what it means to be a prolific tweeter, why I'm doing this, why it matters. Is it helping people? When it helps people, how is it helping people? How often should I be doing it? How much am I embarrassing myself for the future of the internet? You know, all that kind of stuff. But I giggled because I have noticed that when you tweet in absolutisms, tweets do better. So I don't know who needs to hear this. It's such a, like a common Twitter refrain that if you use it, people will like it mm-hmm. because it just sounds so intense. Mm-hmm. I don't know who needs to hear this. What I'm saying is everybody needs to hear this.
Right.
That's awesome. Yeah. You know, I need a Twitter tutorial because I just don't really do enough of it. And so when I do tweet, it just falls on deaf ears because I'm not a prolific tweeter at all.
Well, it's kind of like podcasting. You need to be consistent with it. You need to build an audience, and it really takes time. I've been on Twitter for 5 years. I did not know what I was doing when I joined in 2017 with just my Earbuds Podcast Collective account. Had no idea what I was doing. Was just kind of tweeting into the abyss and, you know, meeting people and DMing them, not really understanding the protocols and etiquette. And over time I have learned, and I'm sure I still break some rules, but other people break rules all the time. So whatever.
That's okay. I don't think there's too many rules on Twitter. So let's talk about that tweet where you said you don't have to have 10,000 downloads per episode to monetize. And you said just a second ago, like maybe you don't even want to monetize.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that first. Like, why might you not want to monetize your podcast?
Well, first of all, the reason I tweeted this was because I was doing a live webinar on Crowdcast with Squadcast and Brian Baltashevich from Queen City Podcast Network in Charlotte, North Carolina. And it was a conversation about avoiding burnout as a podcaster. And somebody said in the comments or in the questions, it would be a lot easier to avoid burnout if I had some money coming in for the show. Mm-hmm. How can I monetize? I don't have 10,000 downloads per episode. And I was like, I'm going to bust this myth for you because it doesn't matter how many downloads you have. If you have an audience that is interested in what you're saying and they like you as a host, they have affinities for brands and products and for softwares and for things that you can bring to them by way of advertisers. Mm-hmm. 10,000 is a lot of people in some ways. So in other ways, it's very small. But if you are a podcast about, I don't know, hairstyles in the 90s, and you find a really great headband brand to advertise, that is perfect. Amazing. You don't need to have 10,000 downloads. The people who are behind that brand want to get in front of people who are likely to buy. So it doesn't necessarily matter that you have this critical mass of people. It just matters that you have the audience to give to them. Mm-hmm. So do you want to monetize is really the question. Because say I am a podcast about, did I say hairstyles in the 90s or just style in the 90s?
Hairstyles in the 90s.
Sure, let's go with that. I love niche. See, I'm trying to expand because usually when I'm on podcasts and I give examples, I say beluga whales. And it's getting to be, I use that too much. So let's go to hairstyles in the 90s.
I love it.
Beluga, you know, and we can expand it if we have to just style in the 90s. But hairstyles in the 90s, your podcast about hairstyles in the 90s, that is lovely. It is niche. It's a dream for advertisers who want to work with you on anything with style, right? But if you're only getting, let's say, 1,000 downloads per episode, let's say 700 downloads per episode, that's awesome. Where were those 700 people otherwise? They're clearly very interested in what you're talking about because you are talking about something so specific. But bringing on advertisers to your show does a few things. Number one, it legitimizes you to a certain extent. You know, people come to your podcast and they know that people are backing you. People are giving you cash to create. That's great. That means that people trust you. But also, you have to consider what that does for the content of your show. Ads should be considered content, right? You know, you are not only putting out this show that has an intro, maybe an interview, an outro, maybe a few other segments thrown throughout, but there's also now your ad that could derail the entire show. And this happens all the time in true crime podcasts where there's a really intense conversation with beautiful music and maybe somebody crying in the background because somebody's died. And then all of a sudden it's like, you know, you've heard this before. It's Fresh Direct. Come get your groceries from Fresh Direct. They send fish right to your door. And then it's like, okay, now let's get back to the murder at hand.
Yeah. So something's off.
Yeah. So you have to consider what that does for your audience and their overall listening experience. And are they going to trust you if you bring in these ads? And so I had a podcast that ended in June that I did for a little over a year with my friend. It was a pandemic distraction cast is what we called it. And for the first few weeks that we were doing it, we were like, oh, this will only be a few weeks long. It's a pandemic distraction cast. The pandemic's only going to be 2 weeks, whatever.
Right.
The 2 week pause.
Yes. Remember that?
Yes.
And then, so we started the podcast then and we thought, you know, we'll do this till the pandemic ends, right? We were so naive. And then it went on for a long time and we were like, okay, it would be good if we, you know, raised some money to offset some of these costs that we spent on microphones and we spent on a hosting site and all that. So we went to Podcorn, P-O-D-C-O-R-N, not popcorn. And we'll talk about that because that's really where I go for monetization. And I'm a big advocate for it. And we were able to secure some sponsors. We were not having 1,000 downloads per episode, 10,000. We weren't even having 1,000 at that time. And we ended up securing some sponsors. And then we recorded the host read ads and we were ready to put them on. And then we decided, you know what? We should tell our listeners what's going on and why we're doing this. And we did that both on Twitter and on the podcast. Again, we didn't have so many people listening, but we thought it was important to let them know because I love transparency. I love people letting people know what they're going to get out of a show. And we just let them know, hey, this is happening. We didn't get any pushback. I can imagine that in some cases you get pushback, but like we got to put food on the table. Not that these ads were, you know, bringing back so much cash for us, but it was definitely offsetting some of it. And yeah, those are some of the considerations that we took when we decided to take on ads.
You're so right about the true crime podcast where, you know, they will do an ad and it's just there's a weirdness to it. It's like, oh, this doesn't really fit. It's not at the intro of the show. Like, you know, the pretend or the criminal conduct podcast is presented by HelloFresh. You know, that that's fine. It doesn't really distract you. But if it's a mid-roll ad, yeah, that can be very distracting and you're all excited about it. And then you're like, oh, where's the 30-second button? Where's the 30-second button?
Right.
You know, another reason you might not want to quote unquote monetize a show, I'll just go back to an example from early in my podcasting career. My wife has a podcast called Weddings for Real, and it's very niche for wedding pros. And so that's who she's speaking to. It was doing well, and we're like, hey, we should have some advertisement. And an agent contacted us, and you know, so we ultimately went with her to do ads. And so then we got ads for Care of Vitamins and HelloFresh and I don't know, some others, right? And it was cool. Like they sent product and everything and it was great. But ultimately what we found was it just took away from the messaging and it took away from the innate advertising of the show, which was that, hey, hire me for consulting, hire me for my Planner's Vault, which is a wedding education site, you know, do all these things. So like the whole podcast is in a sense an advertisement because she's showcasing how much she knows.
Yeah.
And then those HelloFresh ads were taken away from that. And so ultimately we just decided like, yes, having $250 per ad or whatever is nice, but at the same time, like that's not part of the bigger picture here. Like that, the bigger picture is the advertising that is, in a sense, the podcast.
Yeah. That goes back to you can monetize your podcast when you're at less than 10,000 downloads per episode, but should you? Maybe not, because you could be podcasting for a whole number of reasons. A few of them. Number one, you're podcasting because you want to interview people in your space that you wouldn't have access to otherwise. In that case, if that's your goal, you don't need ads. Right?
Right.
You have your number one goal set out. Another one, you're podcasting because like your wife, you have a business that you want to point people back to. It establishes you as a thought leader. It is another way for people to know what they're going to get if they work with you. And ultimately you make your money when people listen to your show and you know, it's sort of a cold outreach at that point. And then eventually they become warmer and warmer till they visit your website and maybe decide to book a consultation session with you. So yeah, there's a whole bunch of reasons. Another reason would be just to have fun, in which case, sure, if you want to have some advertisers, great. But also, if your show is just for fun, maybe you're doing it just for fun and it's a hobby, in which case you should see it as a hobby. It's like taking a jiu-jitsu class, right? You pay for that. You also pay for your podcast. Shira and I, my co-host for the podcast that I was describing before, we ultimately ended up in the negative, even though we made some money back from our podcast. Yes, we made money, but we were not making money.
Got it.
And ultimately we decided, you know what? Yes, we lost money on this, but it's like taking a pottery class. This is something that we did to entertain ourselves and that's great. And we got something out of it. And she was an aspiring comedian. She is an aspiring comedian. So she added that to her portfolio. I am in the podcast space. It was good for me to have this as something that I was doing. It made people laugh. We had a good time. Ultimately, that's what we decided that was worth it.
Okay. So there's a lot there. And you mentioned being cash flow negative. But at the same time, like, you are building on your personal brand. She's building mm-hmm. on her personal brand.
Right.
And Aaron Califato, I don't know if you've been introduced to him before, but he does 7-minute stories with Evergreen Podcasts. And he always talks about, you know what? I've never made any money on my podcast. You know, maybe I'll get some ads here and there. And he's got like 250 reviews of his podcast. Like, it does really well, but he's never really been cash flow positive. But what it's done is it has kept him employed for the past like 5 years, because people are going to that podcast and seeing, oh, this is what Aaron can do. He's a great storyteller. He's a great, great content producer. I need to hire him for this, this, and this. And now I believe he's starting up his own company. And so that's the thing for you too. It is building up your personal brand. Like, you are everywhere in podcasting, and you want, whether that's true or not, you want that to be the perception, right? Mm-hmm. And so, like, you know, that's how you're building Earbuds. That's how you're the community manager for Squadcast. That's how you're doing speaking gigs. That's how you're doing all these things,
yeah,
is from continuing to build up your personal brand. And the same thing with, you said her name is Shira.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with Shira, right? You know, she has got all this that she can showcase. Hey, look, I am funny on this show.
I took advantage of this like weird downtime during the pandemic. And I put downtime in quotes because it might have been for like a week. And then after that, you know, we've been in this for 19 months.
Right.
Yeah. And so she can be funny. And so she has that portfolio now to give to clubs, to give to other comedians, you know, who might want to use her as an opening act or whatever it is. Right. You know, it might lead to other podcast opportunities, but yeah, I mean, you're so right. And there's just so many other ways to monetize your podcast, even if it's just building your personal brand.
Yeah. I'm lucky. And I think this should be acknowledged that I have a full-time job that pays me no matter what. I'm a full-time with Squadcast as the community manager, and I do get to have these side hustles. However, I will say I've worked really hard to monetize Earbuds. I have been running it for 5 years, and I've learned a lot about putting in money in order to eventually make money in all aspects. So when I started the podcast that goes along with Earbuds Podcast Collective in October of 2019, so just backing out, started the newsletter in February 2017. And then about 2.5 years later, I said, you know, I should probably have a podcast that accompanies this. Great. So I decided early on, like right away, that I was going to pay somebody to make it sound good. I was going to write the script. I bought a microphone. I bought this microphone right here for $50 from a friend. It's a Blue Yeti. It's not the best mic in the world, but let me be honest with you. It's fine.
Yeah.
It is fine.
I agree.
People really like to shit on Blue Yeti, but it is more than fine. If I had a nice sound treated room, I would probably spring for something else, but this is great for now. Anyway.
I don't shit on Blue Yeti at all. Like, that's what
you got a really nice mic though.
Well, it was time.
That's a great mic.
It was just time. Yeah. We got a studio, and so we've got four of these.
Yeah, shirts, it went along with it, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So I do have an NT USB Rode Mini that I won from Podcast Movement. Podcast Ooh. Movement has actually
that is what I'm currently using right
yeah?
now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. I love it. I think it's super cute and mm-hmm. also functional. It's cute and yeah. functional. Anyway, I made the decision to spend some money to make this podcast sound good because at the time, and I still am a huge advocate for this, people are not going to listen to your show if it doesn't sound good. That's it. Mm-hmm. There are so many other options out there for them, probably in your niche. They're not going to listen. It's got to sound good. It's got to be clear that you put effort into it. It's got to be clear that you're not just phoning it in. So I spent money. I had a friend who is a sound engineer. I still work with him every week, sending in my episodes. And yeah, I'm able to spend some money to make some money, both with my newsletter and with my podcast. And I'm really grateful that I'm able to spend money. But I think for me, like you said, it ultimately flows back to building myself up as a brand that talks about podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
And that leads people to me to talk about podcast strategy and marketing your podcast and a whole bunch of other things that I can put in bullet points as to what I'm good at and what I can help you become good at.
Yep, absolutely. And you are good at podcasting and personal branding. The whole this and that thing on Twitter is just brilliant. Oh, personal
thank
branding,
you.
Right?
It really helps people pronounce my name because otherwise it is not, I get Nissenblatt, Nissenblatt. It's like pretty phonetic. So this and that really helps.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So getting back to your hairstyles in the 90s example.
Yes.
Okay. So this hairstyles in the 90s podcast has a great sense of who their audience is. It might be, say, 100 downloads per episode. And, you know, if you are getting 100 downloads per episode, that is nothing to sneeze at, by the way. Like, that is good. Like, those are 100 people per episode that change up their routine from listening to Brené Brown, that change up their routine from listening to Joe Rogan, from listening to whoever, and decided to listen to your podcast. That's great. So good job.
Yeah. Imagine sitting in front of all those people and doing your podcast live.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So getting to that example where the download numbers aren't there to go to an agent or go to a place where you're getting $25 CPM or whatever it is, right? You're not getting the HelloFresh ads. Right. You're not getting the BetterHelp.com ads. Like, how does somebody like that monetize? If they do, if that's their goal and they want to make some advertising revenue from that or get free merch or whatever it is, like, how do they go about doing that?
I'll give two possibilities, two avenues, three that you can go down. Number one is the Podcorn. Number two is the local route. And number three is reaching out to people on your own. So one of the things I'm working at getting better on is remembering to come back to all the three things that I just committed to talk about. So I'm going to try to do that. But if you could hold me to that, that would be lovely. So number one.
Yep.
Number one, Podcorn. Podcorn is a website. It's a marketplace that connects brands with podcasters. And if you go to podcorn.fm, you can see a whole list of people that are running campaigns. And by people, I mean brands, but brands are people. Ha. And you can see a whole list of brands that are running campaigns on Podcorn, and you can apply to them. There are a lot of ways to be successful on Podcorn. Number one, you probably don't want to send random applications to every single brand out there, although it might be tempting, kind of just cast a wide net. Don't do that. Obviously, you should read through, see what works with your brand, send a pitch that is personalized. You can either do audio or text. I've done both. I've been successful with both. And sometimes they'll specify what they're looking for. Sometimes they're looking for to speak to people who have a primarily female audience, to speak to people who have a primarily sports-oriented audience, something like that. So you can, based on what your podcast is about, so I'm going in and I have a podcast about hairstyles in the 90s, I probably want beauty products. I probably want anything that has to do with aesthetics and maybe even nostalgia. So maybe games, you know, anything that hits these keywords are things that I'm going to apply to. And my pitch is going to be strong. My pitch is going to be personal, and it's going to give stats about me and my show and where and who are the people that listen to it and why I can give a good host ad read and all of that. And for folks who are listening who want to see an example of a successful pitch, I'm happy to send. Because I think too many people send pitches that are grammatically terrible, that are not compelling at all, and that clearly don't show that you're interested in this product in particular. It's got to be clear that you care about this brand because they're spending money on you. So anyway.
Well, that's great. Can you mentioned you've had a couple successes from that.
Yeah.
Can you go over a success story or two from there?
Yeah, yeah. So for the podcast Counter Programming, which is the one that I did with my friend Shira, we worked with a brand called Romer Skincare, and we were actually together in the same room and we did an audio pitch to Romer Skincare. And we essentially modeled it as if we were doing an ad for them. So we said, "Hi, Shira. Hi, Ariel. Did you know I used to have really bad acne? Well, now you don't anymore. And it's because you use Romer Skincare." And then we talked about Romer Skincare, all that. So they really liked that. They were interested. They had never done podcast ads before. So we were able to kind of tell them, here's why you should do a podcast ad. And I'm a really good person to tell somebody about that because I work in the podcast space and I know about consumer behavior. So I throw that into my pitch as well. I've been working in the podcast space and here's how I've done ads in the past and here's how I see ads going. So definitely use your own strengths to say, here is why I'd be the right person for this. So that's an example of a successful one that we did. We also had success with a brand called the Deeper Talk Deck, which is a game deck that has cards that each have a question on them. And you're supposed to bring them to a gathering and, you know, share thoughts with people. So you pull one out and it says, "What would be your last meal before you die?" it's kind of depressing, but then you would talk about that with people and in theory you could get closer to them. So we pitched them and we said, I think the pitch was something like, Shira and I love going deep and we talk about anything on our show. We bring up X, Y, and Z and our audience reaches out to us to tell us, thank you for saying this. And so we would be the exact right people to tell people about the Deeper Talk Deck. And you could even have more fun with it and say, we'd be happy to play the Deeper Talk Deck on the show. You know, like there are no rules. You could try anything. And as long as it captures the attention of the person who you're sending the pitch to, amazing. At least it opens up a conversation.
I mean, that's next level right there. And that's something where you are making it super easy for these advertisers to be like, Yeah. I definitely want to work with Ariel. I mean,
right.
Like you created the ad for them already.
Yeah. They've already done all the work.
Yeah. Right. I mean, that's impressive. Nice work there.
They get a sense of who you are, whether it's through a verbal ad or through text, and they know who they're going to be working with. They need to consider all these things when they decide to send money your way.
Mm, that's so great. All right. So that's podcorn.com. That's number one.
Podcorn.fm.
And then the next one you said is local. What do you mean by local?
Yeah, local. So I am hosting a podcast on hairstyles in the 90s. And I'm doing this because I'm a 90s kid. This is not true, by the way, but maybe it should be. I am a 90s kid. I am not hosting this podcast.
Thank you for clearing that up.
I'm doing this because I am a kid from the 90s and because I love hair and because I love celebrity pop culture, blah, blah, blah. And also because my mom owns a hair shop in town. How awesome is that? That's like how I got into this whole thing. I'm making this whole thing up, but this is a real possibility. So because I have this local connection, I know of other businesses in town that might be interested in supporting me. Number one, because they like me and they like my mom, but number two, because it makes sense because most of my listeners are going to be in town in this city. Say I only have 500 listeners and 30 of them are in my city of, let's say, Pittsburgh. Great. If 30 people can now patronize this one business that advertises with me, that is a really great win for that business. Not only because there's 30 people, but there's probably 30 more people that each of those people tell about that business.
Mm-hmm.
So I make a list of businesses that are local to you that either fit in directly with your brand or that you have some sort of sentimental connection to, and they might be interested in supporting you because it is goodwill for their business. Because they'll see, oh, Barbara, who owns the Corner Bakery, is supporting Ariel's podcast because she was her teacher's friend growing up, something like that. Like there's a connection there. And this season one of the Hairstyle in the 90s show is supported by Barbara's Corner Bakery because Pittsburgh is a hometown tradition. Yeah. So local is a great option. And especially if your podcast is hyperlocal, like I imagine yours is to a certain extent, not hyperlocal, but local. You have a business that is based somewhere and there are people around you who need podcasts. So great. If somebody wants to reach the people in your town, they should advertise on your podcast because you're going to be speaking to a lot of people in that town.
Yep, for sure. This is great. So one question I have is like, what kind of, and I know it's going to be, it depends and it varies, but what kind of money are we talking about here?
I say always go for a $35 to $55 CPM. And I know it sounds high, but it's not high at all.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's $35 to $55 per 1,000 downloads.
Okay.
So if you only have 200 downloads, you could do the math, but it's way less than $35, you know? And that varies based on if it's a pre-roll, if it's a mid-roll, if it's a post-roll, if it's 15 seconds, 30 seconds, 90 seconds, whatever it is, that's something that you work out with the person that you are considering doing advertising for.
Mm-hmm.
But you are offering them such a niche audience that is great for their product. They should be so lucky to get in front of those people otherwise. So you're giving that to them right there. You are giving them a personalized ad. You're giving them a personal endorsement. You should be charging $35 to $55 per 1,000 listeners, and even more if it's like a perfect match, if the brand is a perfect match.
Yeah. No, I think you can get even more than that if it is that very niche audience and that perfect match. But if you want to start there and just have that cachet of, look at us, we have advertisers now on our podcast, I think that's pretty important too.
Yeah. And if you want to do that, if you just want to get ads on your show, a good option is podgo.com. I think it's podgo.com, or let me just grab it. Yeah, so you should go to podgo.co, which is a really great way for you to start making even some money. So they work with a whole bunch of different advertisers, and you can essentially make $4 for doing an ad read. And that's not a lot. And again, it's something for you to consider. Do you want to sell ads against your show only for $4? Maybe, maybe not. It's totally up to you, but it's an option. Podgo.co.
That's awesome. And it gives you the reps of actually putting an ad into your show also.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And so like that's not automatically easy to do. Like you've got to figure out how to do that. And other advertisers will see like, oh, this is something that I could advertise on. You know, how do I go about contacting this person potentially?
Yeah.
This is great, Ariel. This is great information. You mentioned reaching out on your own. What does that mean?
So there are a few ways you can do this. If you love a brand and they don't already advertise on podcasts, you've never heard an ad, you know that they are not yet advertising on podcasts, but they should be and could be, you can tell them why they should be and could be. You can reach out to them. You can go on LinkedIn and find out who their brand manager is or who was in charge of their ads, or you can Google them and find a press contact or find the contact box and send them an email and essentially pitch them there. Would you be open to having a conversation about advertising on my podcast? Here's why you should advertise on podcasts. Most families in the U.S. are aware of what podcasts are. 55% of the U.S. has listened to a podcast more and more every day, every year, growing and growing. More and more dollars are being poured into this industry. You could provide us with some of those dollars. So just educating people on why they should be advertising their product on your show. So either you go after brands that you love that you could give a great endorsement for because you genuinely use them and love them, or go to podcorn.fm, look at the brands that are already advertising on podcasts, contact them outside of Podcorn and say, hey, been loving hearing ads for your show on X, Y, and Z podcast. I would love to talk to you about advertising on mine. The reason I'm reaching out here is because I don't have 10,000 downloads per episode, but I think I could do an awesome ad read for you and I could help you reach a new audience that you wouldn't reach otherwise.
Do you have any stories of I imagine that you've had some success with this in the past.
Yes. Okay. So my friend, my co-host and my friend Shira, she noticed that one of her friends started a company that was like a place that you go and store boxes while you're out of town. So what you do is you sign up online, and that's basically the crux of the business is I'm not going to be home to pick this up. I'm going to get it sent here. There's free storage. Shira noticed that this company existed and that she was friends with the founders of it. And she said, why don't we do some sort of exchange? You have a lot of followers on Instagram. We have a podcast. We would love to advertise for you. We know you're based in New York City. A lot of our listeners are based in New York City. We could do a 30-second ad read for you in exchange for an Instagram post. Great. And then that worked out. It's not money per se, but it is some sort of exposure.
Yeah, that all works. And it all adds to the popularity of the podcast. Well, this is awesome, Ariel. So we've got going to Podcorn, going local, or just reaching out on your own. Podcorn and Podgo, what kind of cut do they take from this?
I just want to make sure I get it right. I believe that Podcorn takes 10%, and I am 90% positive of that. Podgo, I don't have that percentage because I have not used it myself.
Gotcha.
But I have spoken to the founder, who's a good guy.
Okay.
Whereas if you go to a traditional agency, it's usually like a 30 to 40% right. cut, sometimes higher. 50. Yeah. So.
Yes. It hurts. Mm-hmm. when you take that percentage out.
It's like, I've done this and for what, if you're going to take half of it.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. No kidding. Well, Ariel, I mean, this is amazing. And I love that tweet of, you know, you don't have to have 10,000 downloads per episode to monetize. And you've given us so many different ways that you can monetize if you want to.
If you decide it's right for you. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Ariel, do you have time for a couple of fun questions?
Yeah, please.
So what is your favorite podcast that no one knows about?
So I go in waves of listening because I listen to every day. I listen to The Daily shows, The Daily, Up First, The Daily Zeitgeist, a few others that I love and are my everydays. Consider This from NPR. And then I cycle through shorter, you know, 10 episode series that I then, you know, have binged and then they're gone. And I'm sad about that. So a few weeks ago, I listened to a podcast called where the red cedar grows. And I don't think many people know about this show because it is by this woman named Anya Steinberg, who was, when she created it, a student. And this was for her senior thesis. And it was about, she went to this summer camp growing up called Unistar, which was on Cass Lake in Minnesota. And she discovered after years and years of going there that there was a pretty dicey history between the people who owned the land now, the camp owners, and then the native people who lived on that land for thousands of years and were over time forced off. And so this is an investigative podcast as to how this happened, what the relationship is between the camp and the people in the town. And it goes into a whole lot of other topics related. And it is really well done. And I was so impressed that as a college student, she was able to do this much research. I was really amazed. So that's Where the Red Cedar Grows.
All right. We'll have to check that out. Mm-hmm. And last question is, what's the most memorable interview that you've had? And you can be the host or the guest. What's the most memorable interview?
I was recently on my own boss's podcast, which is called Between Two Mics, with my co-host Shira. And we were talking about another tweet thread. I've been invited, you'd be surprised, onto many podcasts because of tweets, which is great.
Twitter's
great.
I am not surprised.
So they invited us on to talk about a tweet thread that I posted in June, I want to say, that was detailing how we reached 100,000 downloads without having any network backing, without putting money up to appear in any places, and with having a super niche topic. I didn't even get into it, but Counter Programming is a podcast that is about countertops. It's literally about granite, steel, marble, and wood, and recycled glass, and laminate.
Wow.
And other things with the word counter in the title, because it was counter programming to the pandemic. And we just had a lot of fun with that. And it was a weird, quirky show, and it was funny and entertaining. And with that, we were able to reach 100,000 downloads. So on this thread, I detailed how we did that. And then they had us on the show to go through the thread. So that was a really memorable interview, because I think, if I'm being honest, Shira and I interview really well together. We're very entertaining, and we kind of steamrolled, which was fun.
That's awesome. Well, Ariel, thank you so much for coming on the Earfluence podcast. You are amazing and such great content here. We truly appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. This was a blast, and love what you guys are doing.
Thank you.
So where can people go find Earbuds, your podcast, all the things that you're working on?
Earbuds is at earbudspodcastcollective.org. You can sign up for the newsletter there. You can find the podcast, which is Feedback with Earbuds, there. And if you want to connect with me, just Google my name, Ariel Nissenblatt. It sounds like this and that. That doesn't really help with your typing, but you'll probably get close because there are not too many other Nissenblatts in the world. And then you can just click on my name and DM me on all of the socials.
Yeah, it's spelled exactly like it sounds.
Right? Thank you.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, Ariel, thank you again for coming on the show. And for anybody listening, if you are interested in full service podcast production, head on over to earfluence.com. For CeCe Huffman, I'm Jason Gilligan, and we'll see you next time on the Earfluence podcast.